Okay. If I'm in charge of the recorder, it doesn't get done. If Eric's doing it, that happens. Eric's not here today. We're missing three today, Eric, Wilma, and Brenna not here. Sandra, and Opal is here. So welcome to Opal after a long time, I don't know. And it's just amazing that you showed up today. We had the phone call last night. Sandy and I were walking around about 2 feet off the ground after the phone call. Just let me ask you a question. Did you get our phone number out of the paper? Okay, out of the paper. Well, the newspaper ad does work. We got one there in the red, one there in the blue, now one in the white, all from the newspaper ads over the last, you know, year, I guess. So it's working. Edward, yes.
And for what it's worth, so the Dredge and I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Out of the newspaper, yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that invitation to the lectern, Reg. It's been, how long's it been? Been since Tabernacle, since I last spoke. So it's been a while. So I'm a little rusty. Hopefully, by the end of the message, the rust will go away. But what we think about is what we naturally are going to speak about. Right?
Right.
Thought comes before speech, always. Has to be in your brain first, whirling around. The important question is this. Has anybody ever heard of the word first fruit?
What?
First fruit. First fruit. Yeah. Well, as prospective first fruits, what are you and I constantly thinking about? Well,
the Bible?
It's very seldom in our time of the day, very seldom that we're not thinking about something. And right now you're thinking about something. You're probably wondering, what's this guy going to talk about? That might be on you. It's a thought. Your brain is never asleep when it comes to thought. You even think at nighttime when you're sleeping, although you don't know it. But your brain is always going. Okay? So, as I'm saying, making the point, it's very seldomly we're not thinking about something. Our minds are always busy in this process that we call thought. It's always busy in that regard. And if you think about that for a minute, it's important because we're always generally thinking about something that's important enough that I want to tell somebody about it. And that's called speaking. Oh, I can't wait to get with Red Shirt. Can't wait to get with Eddie to say, I got something I want to tell them. And vice versa. They get something exciting on their brains, and the next thing they want to do is they want, come on, let's go for coffee. I want to tell you something. Right. And I don't have to read their mind. They're speaking it to me. Sandy and Sonia will tell you they don't like talking on the phone. It's not true. What are they always doing on the telephone? The phone rings and Sonia doesn't say something. The phone rings and Sonia doesn't say anything. No, that isn't the case. You know what I'm getting at, right?
Yeah.
So our brains are always twirling with thought. And out of the mouth comes a thought. So what I want to talk about today is an extension of what I spoke about at the Feast of Tabernacles in Collingwood this year. What I talked about in Collingwood was this. Think about what you think about. That's what I spoke about in Collingwood. And now, after Collingwood, this is kind of a follow-up to Collingwood, we could say. Think and speak with the mindset of Christ is my title for today. Let's be reminded of something super important. Let's go to our first scripture. This would be a memory scripture built right into your hard drive, to use the terminology. It's a brain, really, but we'll call it a hard drive for today. And it's definitely a memory scripture. It's Galatians 5. Let's go there, Galatians 5, in the New Testament. So we need to be involved in the production of what? Producing righteous fruit. Remember there in John the 15th chapter? We're going to Galatians 5. Remember there in John the 15th chapter where Christ tells us that he is the true vine and we are the branches. Ever thought about yourself being a branch? I never ever thought about it being a branch, but that's what we're referred to as a branch. Christ says there in John 15, you're turning to Galatians 5, but Christ says there, his words, the one who is dwelling in me and I in him is to be, or hopefully Christ says that you are bearing much fruit. It says that, John 15. So, we are seen by Christ to be branches on this vine, right? And on these branches, picturing the first fruits, the prospective first fruits, you and I, fruit is meant to be found. What do you do with fruit? Is fruit useful? We eat it every day at our house. I'm not going to grow an apple tree in my backyard unless it does something. It has to produce fruit. Remember that analogy in your walk with Christ. We've got to be producing fruit. Galatians 5, you know what verse it's going to be? 22 and 23. Read this particular area many, many, many times. I can't quote it off heart. Can't quote it by memory. I'll have to read it to you. And I quote verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith. And the next word is meekness. That's humility. And then, self-control. That's hard for some people to do, to be self-controlled. And it goes on to say, against these things, there is no such law. But those who are Christ have done what? Have crucified the flesh with its lusts, or with its passions rather, and lusts. If we live by the Spirit, we should be doing what? Walking by the Spirit. We should not be, if you look up in the New King James, I think it says conceited. Everybody know what that means, conceited? Vainglorious is a Faithful Version translation. We should not become vain and glorious, provoking one another and envying one another. Why would we do that? We want to be like Christ. I don't want to be like somebody else that's a multi-billionaire. I want to be like Christ. You want to be like Christ. So, if we are not thinking along those lines, we're missing the mark. Think and speak with the mind of Christ. That's my title. Now, how can we speak? How would Christ have us speak? How would Christ have us speak? Like him. We have to know what the word says in order to do it, right? Well, if we don't know what it says, we won't be speaking like him. It's an impossibility. The next question is, if we can't do that, is there a way of changing that? Is there a way of changing that? Now, think about this for a minute. We've all read the book of Ecclesiastes, have we not? It's a wisdom book. And it's in the canon of Scripture. It's not like Enoch. It's not in the canon. It's in there. It's written for us for a reason. So when we consider, don't turn to Ecclesiastes. I just want to talk about it for a minute. But when we consider the 12 verses that are in Ecclesiastes, by the time you come to the end of it, what is being said there is that life is meaningless without God in your life. It really is completely meaningless. And if you told somebody on the street about that weren't thinking the way you're thinking as a Christian, they wouldn't get it. It would go right up over top of their head. Matter of fact, they wouldn't even talk back to you because they can't say anything back to you. We'll get to that a little bit later. Now, there's an interesting word in the Hebrew. It is only found in this book of the Ecclesiastes. And the word there is, don't worry about turning to it, just take my word on this. The word there is preacher. And that word preacher in the Hebrew is Q-O-H-E-L, E-T-H, and it's pronounced in the phonetic, Koheleth. Koheleth. That's how it's pronounced phonetically. And it's one who calls together and addresses a congregation. It would be me today. It would be me calling. Oh, come on and listen to me. I'm going to preach to you today. Ecclesiastes actually means speaker before an assembly. Reg was doing it earlier. He was speaking before an assembly. So he is the ecclesiastical person today, and so am I. I'm filling those shoes too. But we're sharing that together. So the preacher here in the book of Ecclesiastes, who is it? It's a preacher. Who is it? It's Solomon. We know that. It's Solomon. And he is a king, right after King David. King David's son, right? A man that was given amazingly great wisdom by God. Now in these 12 chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes, we see Solomon's thinking through the words that he's writing. Right? And he was a man blessed by God in a huge, an amazing way. We know that. We wonder, what happened along the way? Well, he couldn't see his way through this personal maze of life that he was living in. He got tripped up by all this stuff, didn't he? Yeah. So we don't want to follow that sort of example. We want to follow the Christ. We want to, what? Think the way he does and speak the way he would want us to speak. Let's take a look now at Matthew, the 12th chapter. Let's go there. We're going to read from 33 to 37 on this. Matthew 12, because a tree is known by its fruits. And the four Gospels recorded a lot of words by Jesus when he was here physically on this earth. Matthew 12, that's pretty easy to find, very first book of the New Testament. And I'll pick it up at verse 33. It says there, either, quote, 33, either make a tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by its fruits. Offering of vipers. How are you able to speak good things being evil? For here's that famous saying, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How many times have you heard that? I often think, where is that scripture? I got to go look in a concordance to find out where it is. But there it is for us right there. That famous statement right there in plain view. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Remember, it's thinking first and then speaking. That's how it works. Verse 35. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings out good things. And the wicked man, out of the wicked treasure, brings out wicked things. But I say to you, for every idle word that men may speak, they shall be held accountable. When? In the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words as well, you will be condemned. End of quote. Now those words might have been a little bit different than what you're reading there. I'm reading out of the Faithful Version on that particular one. Now Jesus' words are telling us that our thoughts come forth by our speech, right? Our true underlying beliefs, attitudes, and even our motivations. Good impressions that we may try to make cannot last if our hearts are deceptive. When is in our hearts, what is in our hearts, will come out in our speech. What we're thinking, what is in our hearts, is going to come out in our speech, and it's going to come out in our behavior. Those things follow each other. Our thoughts and our words, they hang around like shadows together. Which brings us to something very, very important. You know what? We can't undermine this. And it's another form of speaking. We cannot undermine the power of prayer. And to be constantly speaking to God or asking God to prune us. Prune that old man off, Father. Please prune that old man off and fill me with this new man. We know who that is. It's Jesus the Christ. He was perfect. He's the only one to mirror and match. He's perfect. A woman or a man fully equipped with the Holy Spirit will be actually thinking about Christ and speaking about Him. This really is where this new person of Christ actually springs from. It springs from this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's where it is. So we know that prayer is our ability to speak or to talk to God. And you know something? It is not a one-way situation. It's not a one-way position. It never is. It never is. Even though we don't hear, in particular, the voice of God or the voice of Jesus coming back at us after we, or when we're praying to Him or after we pray to Him, we don't hear the voice. But we realize the communication comes to us through the Word. That's why that book you've got in front of you is so important. If you're wondering where mine is, it's right here. It's very important. It allows us to think on this spiritual level as the Holy Spirit indwelling within us prompts us. Let's have a look this time, still in the New Testament, at Luke, the 24th chapter. Let's turn there. I'm going to pick it up there in verse 45, or 44 rather, just two verses, Luke 24, 44 and 45. We have to have the spiritual things put into our minds first. Luke 24, before we can think them, let alone start to speak them, we have to be thinking them first before we can speak them. If we are perhaps out there talking to our unconverted or unconverting neighbors, the neighbors that don't know, aren't interested in what you're interested in, spiritually speaking, if we're out there talking to them, whenever do we hear, brothers and sisters, whenever do we hear them talking about anything spiritual? I've got them on both sides. I've got them all up and down the street. They don't talk about that kind of thing, don't they? They don't do it. Why? That is not important in their lives. But when I'm out together with Eddie and Reg, I can't get them to shut up about the scriptures. Because why? They're thinking about it. It motivates them. It's the thought first. Then comes the speech. If you ever got to get together with Eddie for a coffee, he doesn't stop. He's highly motivated. He loves talking about it. Reg is the same. Sonia's like that too. I hang around my wife for that reason. She likes to talk about spiritual things. Spiritual concepts do not permeate the minds of most people. How many live here in Kawartha Lakes? Last I seen on the sign, it was 73,000. Oh, there's only 8 here. What's happening with that picture? Well, we can smile about it and laugh about it, but it's a serious deal. It's a serious deal. It's just not important enough for the other, 72,900 and, I don't know what it is, some number under 10 people are here. Let's say 10. So it's a lot of people not here. Those people that aren't here don't think about it. They see our ad in the paper. They don't care about it. It is what it is. These people won't actually talk about it. Why? They first don't think about it. That's why. Luke 24, verse 44 and 45. And he, I quote there, 44, and he, talking about Christ, said to them, "These are the words I spoke to you when I was yet with you, that all the things which were written concerning me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." And what did he do? Verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. I can't open anybody's mind. You can't open anybody's mind. We couldn't even do it together as a group. Why? Because the Godhead, the two of the Godhead, through the power of their Holy Spirit, they have to open the minds in order to receive what it is that they want us to hear. That's not difficult to understand. No man or woman can open any other person's mind. God opens our mind by the power of His Spirit in regards to their word. And there it is, right there. That's the word. We have to remember always, God's ways are not our ways. We've got to plug in to the electricity of the Spirit. We quite often hear this, and this is a serious thing for us to consider. What would Christ have us do? Let's narrow it down a little bit. What would Christ have you do? What would Christ have me do? We ask ourselves that, however. What answer do you actually come up with? Let's say the overall idea that God the Father and Christ, our Messiah, have opened our eyes and our minds to understand the Scriptures first. We must make every attempt to put God the Father and His Son, the Christ, foremost in our minds. Not number two, not number three, not down the list number 10. No. First, we talk about that all the time. And secondly, when we accomplish this, then speaking from the right mindset will occur more naturally. Does that make sense? Yeah, we have them first. You can look there in Luke and it tells you if you love even your family members more than me, and yourself also more than me, you cannot be my disciple. I didn't quote the scripture, but that's what it says there in Luke. I think it's 14, 26 or 7, somewhere in that vicinity. So yeah. So we have to think about what we think about so we can speak the right words. And when we have the right thoughts, we definitely are going to come up with the right words. Bottom line is that we are all involved in this, and I'm going to put in the word high calling. We're all involved in it. We each have answered the call, not as a group. We've answered it individually. We just seen a new lady show up today. She didn't come in with the rest of us. She came in by herself. It's an individual calling. We're called as individuals. God's going to judge us individually as well. I can't skate into the kingdom on Eddie or Reg's coattails. Can't do it. It's my own coattails. Well, my own choices that are going to either bring me in through the narrow gate or keep me on the outside, one of the two. And we demonstrate the calling when we come together every seventh day. We don't talk about that enough. Why do we do this? To practice with each other. To practice what? We'll get to that. Hope I remember that. It's not in my notes. But we come together to practice, right? The calling, of course, is the most important thing we probably would have. More important than anything else. If we never communicated, what would we have? If I came in here with a piece of duct tape on my... and you guys all come in with duct tape, what would we have? Absolutely nothing. It's communication, right? We all have to overcome. What am I overcoming? Same thing you're overcoming. It's called human nature. We're all going to have our ups and downs. Don't fall down the stairs, by the way. If you're going to fall, fall up the stairs. It's easier. But we all have to make a joke. We have our ups and downs. If anything is going to get in the way, it's going to be me. The self gets in the way. Not you. The self. I get in the way of myself. I trip myself. I do the wrong things. I commit my own sin. It's always the self. Oh, you might say, well, that guy over there, it's his fault. No, not his fault. It's my fault. You might think, oh, that person over there, that person causes me a lot of headaches. Well, they probably do. But why are you listening to them in the first place? That's the problem. It's the self which is the problem. Our human nature is the biggest part that we struggle with. Remember the Ten Commandments, all boiled down into two. Right? Boiled down into two. I think there's about five or six words. Love God, love your neighbor. Right? Love God, love your five words. That's really narrowing it down. You know what I'm getting at. And we know that there's no greater commandment than those two. It's the Ten Commandments boiled down into two. And we know there's no other commandments greater than these. Who is your neighbor? Right now you are. Right now I'm your neighbor. Right? Anybody can be your neighbor. And considering those two commandments, you are standing or sitting beside your neighbor right now. When you sit down beside Eddie, when you sit down beside Reg, what happens? Oh, the duct tape comes out. No. That's not what happens. If you guess that, you guess the wrong. It's this. The thinking's first, and then the communicating. I do the same thing. We're all the same way that way. Communicating comes by thinking. First, has to be in your brain, and your brain tells your mouth to go up and down, and the vocal cords work, right? Thought, and then the speaking follows. Let's go to Genesis 11. And you know what I'm going to tell you here in Genesis 11? Genesis 11, most everyone likes to communicate, let's face it. It's not difficult to understand. When we fail to communicate with each other, things will begin to break down. Genesis 11 will show us that. Just like it occurred back in the days of ancient Babylon. Genesis 11 talks about that. It was after the flood, right? Right around the year 2100 BC. I'll guarantee you this. You weren't there, neither was I. But this is recorded in the Word, right in this book. And it actually happened. It takes faith to believe it. But you've got the faith, you know what I'm talking about. So, it says there, in Genesis, the 11th chapter, in verse 1, and I quote, "Now the whole earth," it says, "had one language and one speech." That's not taking place today. That's not happening. I don't know how many languages there are. I could have asked Alexa, and she probably would have told me. Thousands of them, likely. I have no idea. One language and one speech back there in the days of Babylon. And if we were to read through this particular chapter here in the book of Genesis, we would see that what was taking place didn't last long along the lines of being positive in God's sight, because old Scratch was still around and active in people. That was where the problem was lying. Active in people. We know old Scratch is Satan the devil. He was there after the flood. Especially with that one guy by the name of Nimrod. Remember that guy, Nimrod? He was a fantastic hunter. He was the enforcer, let's put it that way. He was the enforcer. But you know something, the problem with that type of guy? He was against God. And he was the one that led the raising up of Babylon and began the building of that Tower of Babel. Remember the story? We aren't reading that, but just you guys know the story. I just wanted to point you back to Genesis 11, tell you that they were talking back there, all one language. So God saw what was taking place, and he put a stop to the continuation by what? By confusing the languages. Just like if I all of a sudden started talking to you guys in German right now, Eddie would have to interpret it for you. Otherwise, what I'm saying is absolutely useless. Can you speak a bit of Portuguese?
Yeah, all Portuguese.
Say something in Portuguese. Anything.
Alguma coisa? Deus é o caminho e a verdade.
Yeah, Eddie, what'd she say? So yeah, so there's the example. Thank you for that, Maria. So,
the way and the truth.
This is what I'm telling you. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. So this was going on back in Babel. So God confused the language of the day. Simply put, the people during that time frame, they weren't thinking godly thoughts, nor were they speaking godly words. Why? Because the thought was in there first. Right? Makes sense? Pretty simple, isn't it? So all of God's words, right here, are written down for your and my understanding. And that's all in English, incidentally. That won't be in Portuguese. You can get it in Portuguese. You can get it in that language. It's in that language.
But the closest you get to Hebrew, the more accurate.
Yeah, exactly. The closer you get to the mother tongue, the more accurate it is. Very true. But we got it in English. It's pretty good in English. So all the words are written for our understanding, with the hope to come to the understanding of what took place in the past. And as God's true church, is what we call ourselves, and as God's true church, that we use these teachings to direct our footsteps through our physical lives and on forward, like, you know, it's like a walk. On forward, and what's up just ahead? The narrow gate. And only few pass through the narrow gate. I want you to be in there. Of course, I want me to be in there. You could say the same for me. I want you to be there. And you're like, I want you to be there too. Right? We all want to be there. But we have to be thinking right thoughts. And we have to be speaking right words. So, we're heading to the narrow gate. That's first fruit. How would you put that? Ideology, is that the right word? First fruit thinking. Thinking first fruits, talking is first fruits, I suppose. Now when I began to think about all this, once again it dawned on me that there's really nothing new under the sun. We all seem to be carrying around this personal brand of human nature, of which you and I are in the process of overcoming. And I don't know about you, but when I find myself, it happens every once in a while, I find myself alone, quite often I begin to think spiritually. Because all the noise of the world is gone. Sandy's not around anymore. She's not there to throw me off. Sonny's not around to throw me off. I know Eddie and Reg are there talking to me. So I'm thinking for myself now, and I'm thinking about what the plan of God is. A lot of times this happens. That's how it works. It's thinking first. It's not that these people are saying anything bad to me. Just that you get to thinking a little deeper when you're by yourself. And when you start thinking deeper, what do you start to do generally? You start to talk to God. It's called prayer. And it's pretty powerful. I get like this every once in a while. And I know you do as well. It's part of life in this spiritual calling we've been given. And in many instances, it's a prayer, and you guys are going to relate to this. It's a prayer about how to become more and more like those two perfect beings in the Godhead. Who are they? God the Father and Christ. And I'm praying, how can I be like you? I'll bet. I'm not betting, but I would say that you do the same thing. It's no secret. Right? The gap that exists between those two perfect beings has got to be large. When I'm talking about me, the difference between me and me and the two of the Godhead has got to be a pretty big gap. That's not a secret. We all feel the same way probably in regards to that. Sometimes you go out by yourself and you start to pray, won't you? I can see. It's called a prayer walk. During the summer, for me, it's called a prayer ride. What's a prayer ride? I'm a mountain bike guy. So I get out on my bike, and I'm in the middle of nowhere, and I'm talking to myself. And somebody walked by me, you think, that guy's crazy. He's talking to himself. No, I'm not. I'm talking to God. It takes place. It flows out of what? Where does it come from when you do that? I know you guys do it too. I can see the smiles on your faces. I know you do it too. Where does that come from? That comes out of your new spiritual being. That's where that's coming from. The other part of you shows up on the scene. Did you know there was another you? And this can carry on for quite some time. People can think you're crazy for a long time. That guy's really crazy. He never shuts up. I'm talking to God, eh? It's not a joke. It happens. I've gone by people. Oh, I wonder what they think now. But none of this is planned, brethren. But it takes place. It takes place. All coming from this change we have, right? This different heart, this heart that now is moldable by God, we could say. A heart that's being changed. It takes place within every one of us. How does it start? Thinking. Speaking. And then what happens? They speak back through this. I didn't make it up. That's what it is. Brethren, it's not wrong to do this either. It's not wrong to ask God how to use His Holy Spirit more effectively. Remember the scripture in Matthew 21, verse 22, I'll quote it for you. Ask and receive, it says. Ask and receive. And it says there, whatever you may ask, believing in prayer, you will receive. If you want to look it up, Matthew 21, verse 22. Yeah, 21, 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you have to believe it, you have to have faith, you will receive. Christ did this. He shared the lesson of the withered fig tree. And you have to have faith and have it without having a doubting spirit. If you have difficulties and problems, talk to God about them. Verbalize. You're thinking you've got problems. Tell them to God. That's what we do. That's what we should do. The question is, how strong is my faith? I remember this Feast of Tabernacles in Collingwood, a fantastic feast. Rick Dubler, at the very beginning of the feast, this was the opening night, Feast of Tabernacles in Collingwood, he was sharing with us on opening night and encouraging every one of us to be actively involved for the next 8 days. Now, does that mean that Reggie and Eddie come over to my place where I was staying and hand me a roll of duct tape to put over to tape my mouth closed? No! Actively involved. It takes this, but it takes a thought first. Correct? Yes. Elder Rick went on to say that some of his best feasts of tabernacles were the ones when he went out there serving and caring and sharing back and forth with the other brethren. It's so true. That happened to Sandy and I this year. I'm not making it up. Reg was serving this year. He was up there 3 different times as worship leading. He was up there, I think it was 2 or 3 times with his guitar. What's that all about? Serving. I said to Reg, we drove home together. Sandy and Sonia drove home. They like to talk a lot, eh? They think about stuff first, then they talk about it. We drove home together, and they were in their car ahead of us, and we were in our car behind them. We did that so nobody had to sit in the back seat. That's why we do that. We came home, and we had a grand time. Red said to me, "That was my best feast." I said, "You know why? Because you were doing stuff. You were serving the brethren." It's not me saying it. I see it. I see it in people. I see it happening. It's really amazing. So anyway, it's no different with any one of us here when we get together on the Sabbath day. The principle of sharing and serving back and forth is exactly the same. What comes first? The thinking. I think I'm going to talk to Reg today. I think I'm going to talk to whoever today. I got to think it first before I can do it. Thinking and speaking, they go together. So when we do that, we will feel the spiritual electricity working through us. It's kind of electric, isn't it? You ever stuck your finger into a wall socket?
Oh, yeah.
Gives you a jolt. I remember a brother a couple of years ago saying this to me. Oh, I'm not making this up. I'm not mentioning any names. There wasn't anybody here, by the way. Oh, I'm going to go to the Feast of Tabernacles this year, and I'm just going to go and relax, and I'm just going to show up. That's my contribution. Well, I asked myself a while later, as I thought about that, I'm thinking about it right now. I'm thinking the thought first before I speak. I'm thinking first right now, I'm speaking it. And I thought to myself, why in the world would I want to follow through on something like that? That's not the right recipe. Let's see something in 1 Corinthians 13 this time. 1 Corinthians 13. Let's see something there. Let's turn there. Unquestionably a very interesting chapter for us to consider. To start off, this city at this time, the city of Corinth, was the country of Greece's most dominant city, 1 Corinthians 13. One of the biggest problems, though, that it had, it had all kinds of worldwide commerce, lots of money pouring in and out of Corinth. But one of its big problems that it had there, and Paul was addressing it, it had a major problem with idolatry. All their religious beliefs were formed in wrong thinking. So when they're thinking wrong, they're speaking wrong, right? Goes together again, doesn't it? So when you read through this letter, we see the Apostle Paul was dealing with a whole lot of human carnal problems. Paul was addressing the church here in Corinth, although he wasn't speaking it live. This is what we call a letter. If you want the dressed up word, they call it an epistle, a letter, writing a letter. But it was in his mind, so he wrote it down. He wasn't there physically speaking it. So Paul wrote it for them, and he's writing it for us today to learn from. So the book proclaims the relevance of Christ to many key areas of a believer's life. Christ became for us wisdom from God. He brought down the wisdom. He spoke what God told him to speak. He brought this wisdom. So when we take a bird's eye view, an overall view, through this first book of Corinthians, we are amazingly wowed. We're wowed by what it says. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there, to hear this letter read out to them? It really makes us think. Remember? How many actually heard it back in that day? How many actually took it in and came to repent of what was taking place back in their day? So here we are positioned at 1 Corinthians 13. And we read these spiritual giftings right there at the end of 12. We see the spiritual giftings there. 1 Corinthians, which continues through chapter 13, where it speaks of this greatest gift. Which is what? Four letters. L-O-V-E, love. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, the verse begins by telling us that love never fails. And then we come down to 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 13, 12 and 13. For now we see through the glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know exactly as I have been known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. End of quote. So down the road, when our change comes, and we see from this new spiritual position, when we will be in the kingdom of God, actually there, actually through the narrow gate, we will have much more to go with, won't we? We will see much more from God's perspective of love. However, I wanted to bring that out. However, we are not there yet. And today, what are we talking about? First, it has to come through the thought process. Okay, we're thinking, and then we're speaking, or attempting to do this anyway, with the mindset of Christ. How can we put that, what we just read, into practice if we don't think about it first? How can we transmit that if we don't think about it first? It doesn't happen any other way. Think about this for a minute. Our thinking and our speaking are somewhat flawed. Why? Only Christ had the perfect words. I don't have them. You don't have them. Sometimes we do, but we don't have it all the time. Hurtful words. Think about this. Think about this. Hurtful words, I do it sometimes, can stab somebody in the heart and actually wound them for many years. I've done it. You've probably done it too. If you haven't done it, you're more perfect than I am. Let's put it that way. However, using the Christ-like words from His mindset can be like what we read there in Proverbs 25 and verse 11. And it says there, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Isn't that a beautiful way of wording it? Proverbs. Apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Remember Peter. With his words that were not fitly spoken. Just before Jesus was taken to be crucified, what did Peter do? He denied Jesus three times just before the rooster crowed. Who did this hurt? The thought was there first. And the words came out. Of course, it hurt Christ. But later, it hurt Peter a whole lot. Peter's words that he couldn't take back. The thinking was there. The words came out. But when he put the words out, he couldn't reel them back in. Right? Couldn't do it. I wonder if Peter had this thought. Boy, this is Peter speaking. I can't believe I said that. Have you ever had that before? Have you ever had that thought? Ever had that feeling? Maybe it was right after you said something that was not so good, and it was maybe a day or two later the thought came. Well, we all know that feeling of regret over the words that I or you have said that you didn't think was so good. Words can fly right out of our mouths so quickly, and we don't even stop to think about what we have said. Sometimes somebody will come up and say, "Do you remember saying that to me?" And I did. I can say this. I've had to say, and I've had to tell my wife especially, and other people too along the road of life, that I was really sorry for what I said to you. And the problem is, I can never really take the words back. It's like trying to put toothpaste back in the little container. Ever try to do that? Well, I got too much toothpaste on my brush, try to put it, it won't happen. You can't take it back. Even worse, if we have this problem of saying these certain words constantly, it's hard for people to now trust you. Hard for people to trust me. When I'm just I don't think. My mouth speaks the wrong words. I'm not Christ-like in what I'm saying, is what I'm getting at. And these examples, gossip, angry words, or even careless criticism, don't build any good bridges. We have we got the information on somebody, right? We got the dirt on somebody. And sometimes we call that, That's sharpening our needs of prayer. That'll help people pray about things a little better after you told somebody about the dirt on somebody. Information is private. We shouldn't be saying anything. Private information, right? We keep it to ourselves. People generally do not apologize for gossip because people rarely admit that they are gossiping. Right? Yet, as time goes on, others learn not to share that with us anymore because of how our tongue wags. Right?
Yeah.
They don't share it with us anymore. I'm not telling that guy anything anymore. He talks too much. What about angry words? It's hard not to hurt others when they're hurting us. That happened this week. I had to put the brakes on. That person was hurting me. Well, I'm not. It says overcome evil with what? More evil? Just the opposite. Overcome evil with good. That's what I had to do. That's what I meant by put the brakes on. We give an apology, but if we're always hurting people when we are angry, then people will live in fear of us or spite of us, one of the two, and stop telling us what we need to hear because we have shown that that guy or that person just can't listen. What about careless criticism? Careless criticism. As much as we try not to judge others, judgment is built right into our brains. We think it. We're constantly and quickly making judgments about people's lives. We do this all the time. It's a human problem. Sometimes these judgments come out of our mouths with not much very thought. The next thing you know, we've got people on the operating table. We've hurt them, in other words. This happens most often to those we love the most, right in our very own families. It happens. We don't even think about the harsh words sometimes when we get in these wrong situations. Oh, I was just sharing a thought. Or I was just telling how I saw it. That's how we do it. We call that sloughing it off. I think that's the way they put it. But these rash judgments can cause deep pain that people don't quickly forget. Hear first, comes out of the mouth later. We've got to really guard our tongues. The Bible talks about forgiveness and how to deal with those who have hurt us. The Bible talks about taming the tongue, about using words to build others up, not tear them down. We need to grow in the words that we say, grow in the words that we use. We need to slow down and think before we speak. Words cannot be taken back. We all make mistakes. We all need to grow in this area. Words can't be taken back. So let's be wise in what we say. We need to grow in this regard. Proverbs 17 and verse 27 and 28. I'll quote it for you. Proverbs 7, if you want to write it down. Proverbs 17, 27 and 8. Say something like this. A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even tempered. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent with their mouths shut. They seem intelligent. Isn't that interesting how that's put in Proverbs, the 17th chapter? This is a great reminder to sometimes stay silent, to think before we speak, and to control our emotions with the help, of course, of those two at the Godhead, especially Jesus Christ. There are times when we should hold back and stay silent. Those times come about. Those wrong words, we know this. We can't take them back. So let's consider when we come together each Sabbath day. Each one of us here see and experience this fellowship, and in it we know there's only 8 of us today, but we have something very special in this fellowship. We're all friends. It's amazing. Some brethren travel long distances. We'll see that next week. Eddie travels a longer distance than most of us, I guess, here right now. They travel long distances to be with us and to come here and to serve us. Our two ministers, one comes from Kingston, one comes from Toronto. It's a long way. A long way. This coming together, it's super precious. But we have been given the power of the Holy Spirit. And throughout the week, we have these thoughts. And these thoughts are foremost in our thinking. And we come together, and what do we want to do? We want to share what just took place this week. We share those thoughts. We speak those thoughts. It comes naturally. I do it. You do it. We all do it. There's nothing wrong with that. So don't come here, put the duct tape. That's no good. That's worse than the other. Well, not worse, but it's not what we're here to do. The question is, why are we to come together? That's the question. Oh, we come together to be silent, to not say anything. No, that's not what it is. I'll let you fill in the gap there. Why do we come together? Now here's a quote from a person that you've never met her, but I'm sure you've heard the name hundreds, if not thousands of times. And she's now deceased. It's Margaret Thatcher. If I say that word, say that name, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Margaret Thatcher said this: "Watch your thoughts, for they will become your actions. Watch your actions, for they will become your habits. Watch your habits, for they will become your character. And watch your character, for it will determine your destiny." Pretty amazing words. Let's always remember that we must guard our thoughts and guard our tongues. Wisdom. 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 Because what we say is always going to be an extension of our thoughts. And our thoughts come from where? Right from the heart. It's connected. The heart and mind are connected. Let's go to Ephesians 4 this time. I'm going to wind down here now. Yeah, I better. I'm running out of time. Ephesians 4, let's turn there. Our last scriptural quotation, a fantastic epistle, again by the Apostle Paul, starting off in verse 1. And I quote, Ephesians 4 and verse 1, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, am exhorting you to walk worthily of the calling in which you were called. With all humility," he says, "and with all meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another," here comes the word again, "in love. Being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." That's one thing I like about coming together here on the Sabbath day. There's always this bond of peace that we have. It's so amazing. It continues on in the chapter, giving some valuable instruction, bringing us to verse 20, where it says, Ephesians 4, verse 20, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him according to the truth in Jesus." And Paul continues to instruct us between verse 21 and verse 29 of putting off this old man and be replacing it with this new man, Jesus Christ, where our thinking is like Christ and our speaking becomes like Christ. Okay? It's all part of the putting off and the putting on process. Jesus says, "Giving no place to our adversary, the devil, but going about doing the very best we can, using the thoughts of Christ and the speech of Christ as much as we possibly can." Verse 29 down to 32, and I quote, "Do not let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good and needful for edification, that it may give grace to those who hear." So when you're speaking, you're saying something, wow, that was amazing. You don't hurt anybody's feelings. Nobody goes home in a bad mood. Everybody's being instructed by something that's coming out of the mind of Christ. Verse 30, and do not grieve. Faithful version says vex, V-E-X, but the word there in the New King James is grieve. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by what you have been by which you have been sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness, indignation, and wrath, clamor, and evil speaking be removed from you with all malice, and be kind-hearted toward one another, forgiving one another, even as God has also in Christ forgiven you. End of quote there in verse 32. Wow. Amazing words. Think about having that thought in your mind and speaking from that perspective. We receive encouragement when? When we encourage others. We encourage somebody, we feel encouraged. We are blessed when we bless others. Right thoughts and right thinking, brothers and sisters, need to be linked together with words that are fitly spoken. Let's think, let's speak with the mindset of our brother in Christ as we go about in this world today. So I hope that was helpful, and I'll end right there. Reg, back to you.